next on the 5 o'clock report.
We will not allow Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon.
Mudslides. It's just a mess.
Inflation in the United States remains unacceptably high.
2014 was Trump changed.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
No nukes for Iran. Good afternoon. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Mark Webster. President Biden wrapping up a strategic two-day visit to Israel definitely had one thing in common with his Israeli hosts, a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to a nuclear-armed Iran.
We will not, let me say it again, we will not allow Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon.
Now, Biden wants to achieve that through the resurrection of the Iran nuclear deal scrapped by President Trump. Israeli leaders have expressed grave doubts about whether that's a realistic goal. Biden next off to Saudi Arabia, where agenda items include a call for increased Saudi oil production to help the U.S. out and U.S. concerns over their human rights record. Meanwhile, U.S. intelligence officials think Iran might try to assassinate some current or former senior American officials. Michael Kastner reports.
It would be to avenge the assassination of the Islamic Republic's top military and intelligence commander. The Trump administration launched a drone strike that killed Major General Qasem Soleimani in January 2020 while he was on a trip to Iraq. Iran has threatened revenge ever since then. The National Counterterrorism Center believes the threat of an attack is still high as President Biden is on his first trip to the Middle East as president. I'm Michael Kastner.
Donald Trump's first wife, Ivana, is dead at the age of 73. The former president announcing her death on his social media platform today, saying she passed away at her New York City home. Trump said her pride and joy were her three children. The Czech-American businesswoman, fashion designer, and former model lived in Canada in the 1970s before migrating to the U.S., where she married Trump in 1977. They divorced in 1992. Authorities in southwestern Virginia say everyone is now accounted for after the region was hit by heavy rains that triggered major flooding.
It's just mudslides, trees in the road, water's been in the road, houses in the road. It's just a mess.
Over 100 homes sustained damage. Governor Glenn Youngkin has declared a state of emergency. Repeat COVID infections becoming more common as some folks have gotten the virus multiple times. Public health experts say it's because of that new variant called BA5 that's spreading. A Texas doctor says this latest version of the virus isn't stopped by the immunity we might get from COVID vaccines or from previous COVID infections. A key indicator of inflation moving toward a record that was set back in March, the producer price index jumped 11.3% on a year-over basis for the period that ended in June. As for last month's number, it jumped by 1.1%. That's 0.2 higher than what was seen in May, almost triple the figure from April. And if you think inflation is too high, you've got company.
Inflation in the United States remains unacceptably high, and it's our administration's top economic priority to bring it down.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen speaking at the G20 finance ministers meeting in Indonesia. She says the U.S. is supportive of the Fed's efforts and is taking other steps to get inflation down in the short term. A group of Republican senators at the Texas border will be getting an update on the surge of illegal immigration, meeting with the head of the Texas Rangers, among others, who says they've never seen anything like what's going on right now.
2014 was Trump change compared to where we're at right now, unfortunately.
Colonel Steve McGraw says most of what they're seeing now at the border are single men, and many have ties to violent street gangs. 13,000 illegal immigrants have entered the tiny town of Eagle Pass over the past week, which is where the senators are meeting. The Columbus, Ohio man in custody in connection with raping a 10-year-old victim was reportedly in the country illegally. ICE reports Gerson Fuentes was not in the U.S. lawfully. Fuentes has been charged with rape, and authorities said in court Wednesday he has admitted his guilt. Maryland police are beginning to enforce local laws when it comes to demonstrations outside a Supreme Court justice's home. Protesters were met by police last night outside the home of Justice Brett Kavanaugh. They were cleared out not for exercising their First Amendment right to protest, but police say for noise complaints. A Georgia official headed to prison for fraud involving COVID relief funds.
A former suburban Atlanta mayor has been sentenced to nearly 5 years in prison after pleading guilty to fraud charges. 60-year-old Jason Larry had been charged with stealing nearly 900 $725,000 of the $6.2 million in COVID-19 relief funds his city was to hand out. Larry was the first mayor of Stonecrest, Georgia, that incorporated in 2017.
Jim Crisula reporting. And General Motors with a new effort to try to make electric vehicles more practical. We get the story from reporter Jeff Gilbert in Detroit.
These fast chargers can get an EV battery up to 80% charge in a half hour. The idea is for travelers to charge up while they take a driving break. The plan is to put the stations about 50 miles apart on U.S. highways. Construction should start this year.
For the project, GM partnering with Pilot, which operates truck stops across the country, and EVgo, a public electric vehicle charging company. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, somber silence ahead of the Tops reopening in Buffalo, a court battle over quarantining continues in New York, and a large fire damages homes in Pennsylvania.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Looks like pretty smooth sailing heading toward the weekend. In the meantime, for the night tonight, some early cloud and a light shower in spots, but turning out moonlit, comfortably cool, low temperatures 50s. Tomorrow and Saturday, sunny skies with pleasantly warm afternoons. High temperatures tomorrow within a few degrees of 80, well into the 80s then on Saturday.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Now checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. On Buffalo's east side this afternoon.
Would you please now join me in this moment of silence.
City Councilman Ulysses Wingo, who read the names of each of the 10 victims of the Tops Market shooting 2 months ago, that store reopening now after a racially motivated gunman killed the black victims inside the store.
How everyone has come together for the opening of our Tops on Jefferson Avenue is proof positive that love beats hate.
Mayor Byron Brown, Tops President John Person says the store has undergone several renovations and will have a new look, but will also honor the victims. Also today, a federal grand jury indicted the alleged gunman on 14 hate crime violations as well as 13 firearms offenses. He could face life in prison or the death penalty. Following a TV news story, the Erie County District Attorney looking into alleged misdoings at the Cheektowaga Highway Department. The probe follows a WGRZ report detailing alleged harassment of town employees and inappropriate use of town highway crews to do work on private property.
Under New York State Constitution, Article 8, Subsection 1 prohibits the use of public monies or public resources for private individuals or private purposes.
Attorney Paul Weiss represents unionized town workers. Cheektowaga Highway Superintendent Mark Wagner says the flap, which began over a photo showing workers in a town bucket truck putting up a solar light at a private flagpole, isn't the real cause of the uproar.
This is about the union not having a contract, and we all know this. I told the crew to go there. I authorized that. I'd help out anybody. It could be in violation, but we hung a flag.
The situation was taken up during a town board meeting this week. The Erie County Sheriff's Department says a deputy is undergoing surgery for what it calls a catastrophic injury suffered during the pursuit of a suspect. The deputy wasn't identified, but the suspect was, as 50-year-old Jose Santiago. Deputies say they saw him involved in a drug transaction which led to a brief vehicle pursuit in which Santiago allegedly caused the severe injury to the deputy's left leg. New York's Attorney General appealing a recent court decision that deemed isolation and quarantine procedures unconstitutional. Here's Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Yeah, three Republican lawmakers and the group Uniting NYS claimed the procedures violated the state constitution and oversteps the separation of powers. The court ruled that the procedures only gave lip service to due process because the isolation and quarantine would take effect before the health commissioner's order could be challenged. Governor Hochul said she's very confident that the appeal will be successful. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
A Brooklyn man who Binghamton's mayor calls the city's most notorious landlord has been arrested. 39-year-old Isaac Anzarut faces over a dozen charges relating to his Binghamton rental properties. Nicole Tippin lives in one of those on Holly Street.
Isaac Anzarut is a slumlord. I've been his tenant for 7 years. He did nothing for me, and I pay him rent. Whatever happens to him, he deserves because he take out money and he don't give it.
Mayor Jared Cram says the landlord's arrest should send a strong message to landlords who don't properly maintain their properties.
We mean business, and we're not going to tolerate individuals who break housing laws in the city of Binghamton.
A day after Erie County announced its first case, Monroe County says it now has a confirmed case of monkeypox. Despite the development, both counties' health departments say the risk posed to other residents is minimal. And a second baby giraffe's been born at Rochester's Seneca Park Zoo, the male Maasai giraffe born Tuesday. It's getting off to a rough start, though. Vets have placed a splint on the lanky animal's left leg to treat a tendon issue, which isn't uncommon for giraffes as well as horses and cattle. It was also born with a hernia, which will need to be surgically repaired later on. Besides those issues, though, zoo officials say their new addition is standing tall and doing well. Severe storms raked across part of eastern New York State yesterday. One of the hardest hit areas was Washington County, where the storm damage was a painful case of deja vu for this woman.
I was standing in the window, and I could see this tree coming down. It happened 26 years ago, and I was like going, oh no, it's happening again.
A meteorologist who investigated the damage says it was likely done by straight-line thunderstorms and not a tornado. In Pennsylvania, three homes caught fire in Clearfield County last night, two alarm blazes drawing several area volunteer companies to the scene. Rob Bergeson, chief of the Sandy Township Fire Department.
We did have two firefighters get treated, transported and treated at Penn Highlands Dubois, and one firefighter got treated on scene. We did pull two cats from the one structure. Other than that, there's no other injuries. Everybody did a good job.
Nearly 100 firefighters fought that blaze near Dubois. The cause of the blaze yet to be determined. A political action committee with connections to the Never Trump movement has dipped its toes into Pennsylvania's gubernatorial race. It's trying to convince Republicans to reject the Republican candidate, Doug Mastriano.
We think that Doug Mastriano is one of the biggest threats to democracy.
Governor Raymar with the Republican Accountability PAC is putting $2 million behind a campaign in Pennsylvania to try to defeat Mastriano.
The idea of overturning a free and fair election, I can't think of anything less constitutional than that. And Doug Mastriano, after the November election in 2020, leading up to January 6th, was one of the worst actors.
Political strategist Jeffrey Lord says Republicans are eating their own in PA, and it's campaigns like this one why the GOP has trouble winning swing states.
My view is if you support a candidate in the primary and the candidate loses, you support the winner. This is July. All kinds of things can happen between July and November. So I don't know the outcome. I wouldn't think of predicting it. Just buckle in and get lots of popcorn.
Most polls show Pennsylvania leaning Democrat in the governor's race this year. Mastriano's facing Attorney General Josh Shapiro in the November election. And that's not the only news Mastriano's making. He's also the subject of a controversial film entitled The Return of the American Patriot, which has raised the ire of left-leaning activists. Some theaters have canceled scheduled screenings of the movie under community pressure. Filmmaker Steve Turley, a conservative author and podcaster, is pleading for help to cover the $100,000 he says it cost him to make the film. So far, the Christian fundraising website GiveSendGo has recorded close to $20,000 in donations on his behalf. And Hershey is in grow mode. Here's that story from Family Life's Brian Query.
The Hershey Corporation, known for its famous Kisses and chocolate bars, is about to embark on a major expansion. The manufacturer has proposed a massive new plant of nearly 250,000 square feet, along with a warehouse and office space near its headquarters in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. The plans, dubbed Project Milton by the company, do not say specifically what the space will be used for. The Derry Township Planning Commission will take up Hershey's proposal at their meeting this evening. A spokesperson for Hershey stressed the project is just in the conceptual stages and that more details will be announced in the fall. And Hershey's president and CEO Michelle Buck emphasizes this project will help cement Hershey's position as a, quote, snacking powerhouse. Brian Query, Family Life News.
All right, thank you, Brian. Your nightly market report next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
The stock market was down today as the second quarter earnings season kicked off. J.P. Morgan announcing a bigger-than-expected drop in profit after upping their provision for credit losses out of concern for a coming recession. Stocks spent most of the day climbing back up from their steep drop, but still ended in the red. The Dow today down 142 points, the NASDAQ rose 3, and the S&P 500 fell 11. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
All right, thank you, Dave. This is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
How old do you have to be to recoup the money you lose by waiting to take Social Security benefits? Hi, I'm Rob West with another MoneyWise Minute. You can apply for reduced Social Security benefits at age 62. But if you wait until full retirement age, your check will be 32% larger.
But you're giving up 4 years of those reduced benefits. That's a pile of money. So when does patients pay off in the form of higher benefits? Well, eventually, the extra money you receive each month by waiting will equal the 4 years of reduced benefits you gave up. That's called the break-even age. Several factors determine this, but generally speaking, it'll take about 11 and a half years to reach that point, at about age 78 and 8 months. Every month after that, you'll be money ahead. Manage your finances wisely with the easy-to-use MoneyWise app. Download MoneyWise Biblical Finance from your app store or learn more at moneywise.org.
All right, still to come on the 5 o'clock report. Crikey, mate, isn't that a wallaby?
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. An area of high pressure will deliver a cool, moonlit night tonight. Sunny, warm days tomorrow and Saturday. Then the weather gets a little more complicated. Some humidity may yield a couple of showers around come Sunday, in Pennsylvania at least, and more likely area-wide come Sunday night and Monday. In the meantime, for the night tonight, there's some early cloud and a light shower in spots, but turning out moonlit, comfortably cool, low temperatures 50s. Tomorrow and Saturday, sunny skies with pleasantly warm afternoons. High temperatures tomorrow within a few degrees of 80, well into the 80s then on Saturday.
All right, thank you very much, Kevin, and finally at 5.
Watch me wallabies feed, mate. Watch me wallabies feed.
A wallaby hopping down your street wouldn't be a big deal in Australia or New Zealand, the land down under, but up in Gastonia, North Carolina,
there's a daggone wallaby or kangaroo or whatever it is sitting there, and I just had to look at it, turn around real slow, and look back, and I was like, this can't be real.
Oh, but it was real. Since Monday, animal control officers there have been wondering about the wandering wallaby's whereabouts, which is a smaller cousin to the kangaroo, if you weren't sure. Brian Southers was the Carolinian who managed to get some now viral video of the wayward wallaby.
Oh, man, I couldn't believe my eyes. And when I called animal control, that's what I told him. I said, listen, it's going to sound really crazy, but there's a kangaroo or wallaby or something in my neighborhood.
Animal control says the wallaby poses no threat, though they have advised the owner that it's also illegal to keep one as a pet, at least in Gastonia, North Carolina it is. As for Mr. Southers, well, the unexpected sighting at least brightened up an otherwise mundane Monday.
It's the trippiest thing I've seen. I mean, way to start a work week, right?
Right. Well, we've got to hop on out of here. That's the world we live in for Thursday, July 14th, 2022. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.